Get your hands off that mouse. The Andy Finn Show will be right back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah!
All right, Danny, we are back on the Andy Finn Show, and we're talking about Ann Coulter and her new book, Godless, The Church of Liberalism. And we're not dealing, although we dealt for a few minutes at the beginning of the show with her, the big controversy that's helping her sell more books about the 9/11 widows. But really, that's not the most interesting thing about her book. What's most interesting is really how backwards she is and how ignorant she is. So let's go on to what she's talking about college professors. She argues that college professors, their reigning attribute is that they are ignorant, boring, and narrow-minded. Of course, that's three attributes, actually, not one attribute. But we'll let that go, Anne. And these zealous pagans teach the official state religion of liberalism as axiomatic truth. Well, she's right about this. The job of a college professor is to open the mind of students. You know, most of my students think that the purpose of college is to get a better-paying job. And I tell them, no, that's not the purpose of college. Do you know the purpose? And they said, well, to get an education. And I say, no, the purpose of college is to give you the tools so that you can get an education the rest of your life. Now, I don't think Ann Coulter learned that, right? Let's talk about intellectual development for a minute. Most of my listeners, regular listeners, know about William Perry's approach to intellectual development. There are different models out there, but Perry's is one of the best. And I simplify it. He has 9 stages of intellectual development, which, by the way, Anne, if you're listening, ends with 3 stages of commitment, 3 higher levels of commitment, all right, for you who out there think that liberals don't know anything about committing to things, all right? But I simplify it because I don't think you have to go through the first 6 stages to reach commitment. You can get to age 18 and be totally ignorant of a lot of these stages, and you still have to commit to things in life. You have to make decisions about where you're going to live, what job you're going to have the rest of your life, whether or not you're going to get married, and whether or not you're going to have kids, among other things. And then what your political beliefs are going to be and what your beliefs are going to be about science, education, and everything else. But liberalism with a capital L, that is this notion of the Enlightenment and the value of education and the idea that you be open to ideas. Yes, university professors are supposed to teach liberalism as axiomatic truth if that's the liberalism we're talking about. All right. I never tell my students right off what I think about an issue. I always present the issues to them. And if the majority of the class starts arguing one way, I argue the other way because they're not seeing the other point of view. And I can make the case equally well on both sides of any issue practically. Of course, that's the definition of a 20%er. It's one of the ways you spot a 20%er like Ann Coulter is that they're literally unable to make the best case position for an issue with which they've already made up their mind and they disagree. They'll say, oh, liberals think this, but in fact, they can't actually articulate the best argument for that. You can take any political issue you want, and I guarantee you Ann Coulter can't name the main points on the other side because she's a 20%er. That is the way 20%ers are. They haven't internalized both points of view. And I'm not saying every college professor does that, and it's easy enough to find college professors who've forgotten that that's the mission, and to find professors who allow politics to be injected into their classrooms and who take positions. So you'll, every so often, Hannity and Combs will do a piece, or Kennedy, or Rush Limbaugh will do a piece about a professor who is, you know, complaining about Bush in his classroom and someone's recorded it and he sounds ridiculous. I don't consider that education. These are college professors who've forgotten the mission. But when she indicts the whole university and claims that as a whole, universities aren't doing their job, she's absolutely wrong. The whole principle behind higher education, and frankly, high school education as well, any education, is to open people's minds. The problem is when we're young, we're not ready for multiple points of view. So let me return to intellectual development. Simplifying William Perry's model, there are three basic stages or levels of intellectual development. Everybody starts off with basic duality, right? Black and white thinking, there's a right and a wrong to everything. Every child is taught that. And there's a true and a false. The thing is either on or off. It's the world is clear and unambiguous. And that's how kids start out. This is a lie, this is the truth. Of course, these are the same words we hear from right-wing and left-wing talk show hosts, right? Now, but very quickly, by the time you get to, the third grade, the fourth grade, the sixth grade, somewhere in here, we start realizing that there are multiple points of view. Now, Perry breaks this down into multiple stages, and the first stage of multiplicity, that's the second level of intellectual development after duality, right and wrong, is multiplicity, where you realize there are multiple points of view. The early stages of multiplicity, you're like, well, I know there's other points of view, but mine is still right, or my parents' view is still right. As you move on in multiplicity, you realize that, there's a bunch of religions out there claiming they're the one true religion. There's a bunch of people out there claiming that they have the right take on politics, on the environment, on whatever. They can't all be right. But multiplicity suggests it's worth investigating multiple points of view. Everybody may have something to contribute. It doesn't mean there's no right answer. And that's what conservatives like to go right to. They particularly go to that when you get to the third level of intellectual development. Because the third level of intellectual development is relativism. And relativism scares people like Ann Coulter to death. Because relativism says that knowledge is by its very nature contextual, meaning that you live in a certain place and time, you're a certain gender, you're in a certain political system with a certain religion or not, and when you take on a particular idea, that's the context with which you take it on. And so knowledge can't help but be relative to the context in which you have it. You know, there are no ideas that exist outside the human mind. There are no ideas out there in the trees or in nature or in the soil or in the cosmos. The ideas are in the head. That's the only place ideas exist. It's the only place intellectual pursuits take place. And so one of the great discoveries of 20th century man and women is postmodernism, the notion that science isn't king either. You know, the Enlightenment came along and said, religion isn't king, science can rule in the domain of the physical. And even in the domain of intellect, when it came to sociology and psychology and things like that, in the domain of human relations, science had a lot to contribute, social sciences. But postmodernism came along and said, you know, this science that people have tried to replace religion with, in many cases, that's not the be-all and end-all either, because science is contextual. And even though it seems to be the physical sciences, and we think that they are either absolute or they are true independent of context, things like Heisenberg's uncertainty principle and relativity theory taught us that even science gets some things wrong initially. And that knowledge, by definition, is contextual. Well, when you take that to something like the choice of a political philosophy, it doesn't allow you to say that a particular set of beliefs is a priori true and therefore the one we should subscribe to. And conservatives hate that. Conservatives like Ann Coulter, not all conservatives, because relativism scares people that haven't learned to think. Relativism, the example I like to use with relativism is two people that have a sailboat. Imagine Ann Coulter and I both own sailboats and we're moored in the harbor. Okay? As long as you have anchors at both ends of the boat, you don't get buffeted around in the bay and things stay pretty calm. You don't have to worry about steering. You don't have to worry about consulting maps. You don't have to worry about finding your way along the shore and being thrown up on the rocks. Or you don't have to worry about a bad storm. But you don't move around. You don't see much. You just sit there on your boat drinking beer, maybe. Well, what a liberal's willing to do is pull up anchor and hoist sails and set out on the sea, because you're not locked into any one set of ideas that says, this is absolutely true and will be for all time, and I have security in that, right? People like Ann Coulter, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, they're scared to death of relativism. So every time it comes up in their discussions, they say, oh, you're a relativist. You don't believe in anything, that anything is true. Then nothing, you can't prove anything, and there are no standards, and any type of behavior is as good as any other. That's the fallacy. They draw the wrong conclusion from relativism. Relativism doesn't say any behavior is as good as any other. You still need to use intellectual rigor and common sense to weigh alternatives, to decide what's the best way to deal with our natural resources, what's the best system of government to set up, what's the best way to structure the economy. It simply says that we don't privilege anything a priori. We don't start by saying, well, I'll have a discussion with you about morals, but I have this book here that happens to be the inspired word of God and absolute truth, and it says thou shalt not do a bunch of things, and so as long as you'll accept that, we can talk. No, relativism says you don't get to privilege any particular point of view or document. So you don't start in the world of economics by saying, well, the free enterprise system is the be-all and end-all, and we will have a free market, and so there won't be, I don't know what you want to say, taxes, there won't be incentives, there won't be this or that. You know, what's interesting about economics is that conservatives like to argue that government regulation is artificial, but that somehow the market that we set up is natural. No, it's all structured by a government of people. And so when we set up a, quote, free market, we set certain rules. We allow certain kinds of behavior and certain kinds of trade, and we don't allow others. It's not, quote, free trade. There's always rules. There's always denominations of barter and coin, and there's always structures of ownership, and there's always legal documents that make it all work, and there's things we favor and things we don't favor. And so the idea that the free market is somehow set up a priori and it's like handed down from on high and it's can't be touched, but then regulation is somehow this artificial thing that people set up. No, people set up the free market too. So the whole structure, whether it's, you know, progressive income tax or it's antitrust law or it's whatever, all of that is a decision that we arrive at as a group. And that's what relativism is about. It says you cannot a priori say that we will have the structure this way and not this way. No, you don't get to say a priori ahead of time things will be a certain way. You debate it all, and good ideas survive and poor ideas fail or get thrown out. And that's all we mean by relativism. You still put standards of judgment in place. You still use common sense. You still use arguments supported by rational reasons, postulates, and arguments to arrive at conclusions. And then your representatives pass laws, and in that public debate, we sort it all out. And that's what liberalism believes in. So I'm glad I've read Ann Coulter's book, because what it's shown me is how little she knows about so many topics. And I'm going to have to leave it at that for this week. That brings us to the end of another edition of The Andy Finn Show. We'll be on WEBR on Monday night and back here on Thursday night. Until then, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.